So thank you and good morning. You can speak back at me, please do. You know, I'm used to speaking. Thank you, Tim. I'm used to speaking with our youth who are very good at giving feedback as you're talking. So thank you, guys. And also, you may not know, it's great to have Engage with us. They're all self-appointed God uncles and God aunts of Theo, which is great because I think that just means we get free childcare. Yeah? Babysitting, baby. but anyway, on an honest point, you may not know, but you know, the young people in this church are just incredible. I'm always blown away by the skills, the talents, how amazing they are. And sometimes we don't really appreciate the challenges and the tough things that they go through, especially in today's world. So I really encourage you, if you don't know some of our young people, really take that time to get to know them. I find a biscuit helps, maybe a bourbon or a cookie or something. Food always goes down well. But anyway, I want to say thank you so much for all the words and all the prayers and the support that we had last week at Theo's dedication. It really meant so much to us. It was such a blessing to share that moment with all of you as a family. So thank you. And I love what JP shared as well, you know, that reminder that there's not these levels that we have to try and reach or these goals that we have to smash, but that reminder that, you know, God created us, so we're from heaven and one day we'll be going back there. I'm not going to go any more into that. If you want to hear it, you have to go back online and listen again. But this morning, I wanted to share with you something that has really been on my heart, especially these last 2 years, especially since sort of COVID hit and we've had these lockdowns, and it's been really tough for so many of us. We've had some really great series, you know, Built to Last, looking at those core foundational values that we have as a church and as believers who love Jesus and love God. And I want to share three stories from the Bible today that I really feel that God wants to speak to us through. But first, for me at least, sometimes in my walk with God, in my personal life, I forget something rather important, and that is I am human. Yeah, may surprise you, but I am a human. And hopefully, you know, we're all humans in this room, hopefully. And with that comes with some realities and some truths as well. So some of these, Josh is going to put them on a screen in a second. So some of these truths are, I'm a human, so I have a physical heart and brain. My wife might not think I use my brain all the time, but I've got one. Another one is, I have a physical body. So I've got my physical body that I'm here. Another one is, I have invisible thoughts and consciousness. And we could have some philosophical debate about where, you know, consciousness and thoughts come from in the body, but I haven't had enough coffee this morning for that, so let's leave that. And the other one is, I'm a human, so I have emotions. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to predict or control those emotions, but still, as a human, I have emotions. And I think that last one, emotions, for me, is something I never really allowed much room for in my walk with God. You know, as Christians, we're very, very good at, you know, looking at the positive things and looking at the joy and being happy and, you know, the good things, which are really important. You know, it's really good. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, which is really good. But I think sometimes we almost penalize the other side of emotions, or we think too negatively about the other side. And when we feel those other emotions that sometimes we don't like to talk about or mention, you know, I'm a Christian and I love God. I'm also human, so I have emotions, good and bad, but I'm still a Christian, and God still loves me. And if I can be, you know, really honest, sometimes when I'm going through a really tough situation, when, you know, things are really difficult and I'm feeling down, sometimes I find it hard to speak to a Christian who is just speaking positivity and won't let me even say I feel sad or I feel angry without sort of giving you that judgmental glance. I don't know if you know what I mean. But, you know, life can be really hard sometimes. And for all of us, there's situations and challenges that we face that aren't easy. And, you know, they can make us feel angry. They can make us feel guilty. They can make us feel grief. They can make us feel depressed. And, you know, just because we may feel one of those emotions at some time in life, that doesn't mean we're any less of a person or any less of a Christian. And that's something that God's been really teaching me, especially these last 2 years. And if you look at Jonah, who's the first guy I want to look at in the Bible, you know, he's a pretty well-known guy in the Bible. Many of us have probably read the verses of his story. The guy who, you know, ran away from God, got swallowed by a fish or whale, and then got spat out, and eventually he obeyed God. And what always intrigues me is that last chapter in Jonah, chapter 4. So Jonah had just gone to the city of Nineveh. He gave a really challenging, condemning message to them. You know, like, you're going to die. You're going to be destroyed. There's no way back. You know, you've made so many mistakes. But actually, as he shared this, God sees that the people start to change, that they actually listen to what Jonah was saying. They're starting to change the behavior, the culture. And God has compassion. And it says that God changed his plan. And so in chapter 4, we see Jonah's reaction to God changing plans. So we're just going to put it on the screen as well. So I'll start from verse 4. So it says, "This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. 'Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish? Yeah? I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted, if what I told these people did not happen.' And the Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry about this?' And then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant." Anyone been grateful for a plant before? Yeah? "But God also arranged for a worm. And the next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. 'Death is certainly better than living like this,' he exclaimed. And then God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?' 'Yes,' Jonah retorted, 'even angry enough to die.'" Jonah was angry. And in some situations, you know, anger can be our response. Even in the Christian world, in the Christian environment, when, you know, God doesn't do what we expect, when we don't see that healing or that breakthrough, when our church leaders don't do what we plan, you know, anger can be one of our reactions. You know, and in the story, it's almost like Jonah is letting his anger almost hinder his relationship. It's letting his anger is stopping him seeing the bigger picture, stopping him seeing the truth of what God wants to do, what God wants to say, and what God's trying to teach the whole city of Nineveh. And it's okay, we read in the Bible at different times, there's a time and a place for anger. We read about how Jesus was filled with righteous anger. And you know, one of the things when I was preparing that, it may seem weird at first, but you know, it's okay sometimes to feel angry. You know, we're human, but what are we going to do with that anger? And are we going to let God in? You know, being angry doesn't make you a bad Christian. Being angry doesn't make God love you any less. And being angry doesn't make you, a bad Christian. But also, don't hide that anger from God. You know, don't let that anger dictate your actions. Don't let that anger be your definition or your label of how people see you. You know, what Jonah did was he was angry, but he was honest with God, and he spoke with God. He had that conversation with God. He shouted at God and said, "God, I'm angry. Angry enough to die." So what are we going to do when we have those angry moments? Are we going to let it dictate? Are we going to let it sort of control how we react, in a sense? Or are we going to be open and have that conversation with God? I'm just going to move on for a second and look at someone else from the Bible that many of us have probably heard of. He's probably one of my favourite characters in the Bible, not just because he shares my name, but King David, the famous leader, the warrior, the psalmist, the giant slayer. I used to love him because I thought that one day I could kill a giant with a stone. I haven't tried that yet, but I need to find someone taller than me. you know, there's so many incredible stories and just amazing events that happen around the life of David, so many miracles that happen. And when you read his life, you can get inspired and just like amazed at how God has moved through David's life. And he's such an important part in like the genealogy of Jesus and all so many different things. But also, guess what? David was human, and he felt things, he had emotions, and he wasn't the best at dealing with those emotions sometimes. But God still used him, and God still loved him, which I find really, really encouraging. You know, the Psalms are such an outpouring of David's heart. As you read them, you get to know how he's feeling, what he's thinking at different times in his life. And, you know, there's some really amazing Psalms that we use to encourage each other. You know, there's worship songs that are based on so many of them. But also, as you start reading Psalms, you start to see the struggles that David faced as well, and the sort of the mental battles and the things that he was going through in his life, the challenges. And one of the things I noticed when I was reading Psalm is quite often it seems that David would almost linger and stay in a place of guilt. And Psalm 38, for example, says this: "My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain. All day long I walk around filled with grief. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. My guilt overwhelms me." Now, how often, I wonder, do we walk around feeling sorry for ourselves when we make a mistake and we let that guilt? I know for me personally, you know, I've had those moments where I've made a mistake, or I feel guilty about something, and I just let that almost control. I feel like I'm not worthy to step inside church sometimes, or not worthy to talk even to a Christian friend, or pray, or be a good person. And, you know, people I know outside of church who don't come to church, who don't believe in God, are sometimes a lot more open and share a lot more about the problems, the struggles, the mistakes they've made and how they're dealing with it than those I know inside the church. I find that a real challenge sometimes, and I don't think that is what God intended. You know, we're called the body of Christ, one family, united by our love for Jesus, our love for God. And this should be the safest place where we feel that we can be open with each other, we can be honest, we can share what we're going through, and as a family support each other and pray for each other without feeling judged or condemned or looked down on, because, you know, we are human, we make mistakes, and it's okay to feel guilty sometimes. You know, that shows that we know we've made a mistake, but what are we going to do about it? Are we going to linger and stay in that place, or are we going to let God in and face him? And I really felt, you know, someone needs to hear this today, that, you know, it doesn't matter how far away from God you feel right now, or how bad you feel right now, or how guilty you feel right now. It doesn't matter what you think. You know, you might just be going through the motions. You might be sat here or watching online and just, you know, keeping up appearances. But actually, deep down, you feel like, you know, your guilt is too much. You don't really deserve to be here, or, you know, you shouldn't. If people knew around you what was going on, then, you know, they'd think less of you. But God doesn't think any less of you. And, you know, that's the beauty of our faith, of our relationship with God, that it really doesn't matter what we think. God loves us, full stop. God loves us, full stop. And he'll always love us and always be there for us. It's just a question of, you know, are we ready when we're in that place to let God back in? Because God's always ready. He's there waiting for us with arms outstretched. He's there waiting for us to come back to him. And, you know, if that's you, you know, I really encourage you, please don't leave this place. Don't switch off your computers at home, whatever, without reaching out and talking to someone. If you're online, you know, send us a message on social media, send us an email. And if you're here, you know, grab someone before you go. We'd love to talk and pray with you. And the final thing I want to share really resonates a lot for me personally. It's something that I've battled with, something I've gone through. Sometimes I still battle with it now. And I think especially over the last 2 years, it's something that a lot of us have experienced. And there's also a lot of almost a stigma in the Christian world around it. And I've even heard these phrases said to me and to other people that, you know, you suffer with this because you aren't close enough to God. Or you are like this because you've done something wrong. God is punishing you. Or you just need more joy. You can't really be in a good relationship with God. Or you can't be depressed. You're a Christian. You know, depression, you know, those symptoms include, when you look them up, it says feeling unhappy, hopeless, low self-esteem, and finding no pleasure in the things you usually enjoy. You know, I find real comfort in the book of Jeremiah and just reading the honest conversations between God and Jeremiah. You know, even when it was really hard, no matter what God was asking, Jeremiah just obeyed God and shared and spoke what God was saying, no matter what he was feeling or what was going on. And, you know, it really sounds like Jeremiah's ministry defined him. You know, he was a prophet. And everyone around him knew that he was a man who spoke God's word. Sometimes people mocked him for that, but they knew that Jeremiah is a man who speaks God's word. And for those around him, for those who maybe shared his faith or, you know, loved God as well, it may have looked like he was this really amazing, strong person who had no problems in life. He just went places, shared God's word, moved on. Even when he was arrested, he didn't let that stop him. But as you read Jeremiah and the conversations and his thoughts that he has with God, you realize that he too had battles and struggles. And even though he carried on doing what God said, you know, inside, he was really battling with things. And in Jeremiah 20, he uses some really strong language. So Jeremiah had just been arrested for sharing God's word. So God had given him a word, quite a challenging and condemning word, which he shared, and then he gets arrested. And as soon as he's released, God gives him another word to share to the person who arrested him. You know, that seems a really bold thing to do as well, you know, to carry on doing what God tells you to do, even though you've just been arrested. And after this, we get this interaction in Jeremiah 20, where we get this sort of heartfelt cry to God from Jeremiah. I'm going to start around verse 8. So it says, "So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like fire in my bones. But I'm worn out trying to hold it in. And I can't do it. I've heard the many rumors about me. They call me the man who lives in terror. They threaten. If you say anything, we will report it. Even my old friends are watching me, waiting for a fatal slip. He will trap himself, they say, and then we will get our revenge on him. I curse the day I was born." That's a strong statement. "I curse the day I was born. May no one celebrate the day of my birth. I curse the messenger who told my father, 'Good news, you have a son.' Let him be destroyed like the cities of old that the Lord overthrew without mercy. Terrify him all day long with battle shouts because he did not kill me at birth. Oh, that I had died in my mother's womb, that her body had been my grave. Why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble, sorrow, and shame. Oh, that I had died in my mother's womb, that her body had been my grave. Why was I ever born?" That's really strong imagery and words that Jeremiah is using there. And for me, at least, in that moment, if not before as well, he seems almost a bit depressed with his words. You know, those words and those thoughts are similar to things I had when I was depressed and battling with that. And, you know, there can be so many different forms and causes of depression, and they can take so many different forms. And when we get caught in that spiral, that downward spiral, it can be really, it's hard, it's difficult, and it's not easy. And it's so easy to let that be sort of the driving force in your life, to let it dictate how you react, how you talk, how you socialize, how you pray, how you do everything. And, you know, sometimes as Christians, and I've experienced this, you know, there's this expectation that everything always has to be all right, that everything has to be okay, that nothing can be wrong in my life, because I'm a Christian, so everything must be fine. And actually, with that expectation, for me anyway, that actually made things worse, because then I felt a bad person for feeling like that. I felt like I was a failure. I felt like I was a bad Christian, that I was a bad person for feeling depressed. And that made it really hard to then open up to other people, because I was worried that, you know, I might get judged, or instead of getting the support I may have wanted, I was worried about what people thought, so it just got worse and worse. You know, and I know someone, a friend through work, who refused medical help for clinical depression because they were worried about what their church would think. And that really shook me, that really challenged me to think that this person wasn't getting the help they needed because they were worried about what their church would think. And if we come back to Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah loved God. Ooh, has it gone off? You know, so Jeremiah loved God. Yeah, he had these thoughts, he had these struggles in his head, but God still used him, and God still loved him. His emotions and his mental state were not the label that God defined him by. And it's the same for us, you know, our emotions, our mental state, what's going on in our brains and our heads, you know, that's not the lens that God is looking at through. And that's not the label that he's using when he looks at you. He's not going, oh, this is Danny, he's this or this or this. He's going, oh, this is Danny, he's my child and I love him, he's valued, he's treasured. You know, and if you forget anything and everything I've said today, please just, you know, remember this, that it's okay to have feelings and it's okay to have emotions. And it doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean that God loves you any less. It doesn't mean that you'll be accepted any less. It doesn't mean that you're a bad or a failed parent or sibling or spouse or child or friend. You know, we are valued, we are loved, we are treasured. You know, we are humans. We have emotions. We have difficult situations, but God. You know, we need to let God in, be open. Have those conversations that Jeremiah, that David, that Jonah had, where we are honest with ourselves, but honest with God as well. Where we talk to him and, you know, let's stop pretending and stop masking our emotions and feelings and be honest and real with God, because that's what he's there waiting for. God's not wanting to see the perfect side of you. He wants to see all of you. He wants to help you. He wants to know what you're going through. And something I really missed during lockdown church, if you want to call it that, is just a chance to respond and sit and hear what God wants to say and to pray for each other, support each other. So I'm going to ask Tim if he could come back up. And for these next few moments, let's use this time without thinking about, oh, I've got to go pick up my child or what tea or biscuit I'm going to have. Let's use this moment to have that honest conversation with ourselves and with God and just say, you know, God, I'm here. This is how I feel. You know, if you need to cry, cry. If you need to shout, shout. You know, this, we are family. We're one body. This should be a safe place. And we're not going to judge you. You know, if you need to cry, that's cry. You know, God wants to see and help you today. And, you know, if you've never had that conversation with God, if you maybe you don't know how to start, you know, maybe you have these things going on in your head and you have no idea how to even start talking to God, you know, please come and grab one of us. We'd love to talk and pray with you. But I'm just going to hand over to Dan in a second, and we're going to go through and pray. But let's not use this moment just to sit and catch up. But, you know, let's sit and talk with God, because God's here. You know, God hasn't gone anywhere. God is here. He's with us. And I really believe that he wants to speak to people today. And I had, just as I was speaking then, I had this picture of, I don't know why, but I get often a picture of a kettle of a different colour for different people, I don't know why. But I had a picture of this red kettle, and you're in your kitchen, and I believe you're married, and you've been really worried about how to open up and share to your other half about how you're feeling and what's going on in your head. So I really encourage you, if that's you, you know, use this moment to pray and speak to God, and yeah, God wants you to know that he's with you, and don't be afraid, because he's going to be with you in that conversation.